turn daf mem beis and mesechtes nedarim. We're going to start from the Mishnah right at the top of the Amid. The Mishnah says, "Hamoyder hano mechaveroi lifnei shvius ena yared l'toych sadehu ve'ena oicho min hanoitos." So, first of all, we're going to break up this Mishnah into two parts, and each part is going to have an A and a B. So the first part is that we're talking about making a neder generally of hana versus a neder specifically about food. So the first part is hana. And then in each part of the hana versus the food, we're going to break it up to making the neder before shvius versus making the neder on shvius itself. Okay? So therefore, let's with that introduction, let's read the Mishnah again. So as I said, the first part of the Mishnah is talking about general hana. Hamuder hana mechaveroi. So as I said, first of all, we're talking about hana. So it's a general isur hana. And it says, lifnei shvius. In this case, you made the neder before shvius, when you have absolute, you know, free liberty to make the neder as broad as you'd like. So therefore the halacha is, Eli yared l'toych sadehu, I can't even walk into his field because I can asur hano. Hano includes walking on my property. Ve'ena oichom en anoitos, and of course, hano is included, he can't take my food, he can't take from the food that is growing from leaning onto my field. Now that's talking about where he made the neder, all of this is he made the neder before shvius. Uba shvius, if he made this neder on shvius itself, I still can prevent you from walking onto my field because that's just a random hana, although we'll see an explanation in the Gemara. Abel oichel hu min hanoit anatiyos hanoitos, but he can eat from the plants that are growing, and we'll see exactly what the situation is, when which plants he can take from, but essentially he's allowed to take the plants. And the simple explanation is because on shvius the peiros are hefker, so they no longer belong to me personally, so I have no right to make a neder on them, as opposed to the case before, which again, according to the simple explanation, is a big chiddush, that since I made the neder before shvius and I had the right, they're my peiros, and I had the right to say you're not allowed to take my peiros, so now even when shvius begins, it's not going to be a problem because they're already usur. Okay, so that's part number one of the Mishnah. Part number two of the Mishnah is similar but slightly different, because now neder haymeno meichel lifnei shvius. Now we're talking about not just general hana, which would include, for example, specific in this case of the Mishnah, walking on my field. Here, I specifically made the neder about the food, eating my food. So neder haymeno meichel lifnei shvius. Once again, we break it down before shvius versus on shvius. So if I made the neder before shvius, yoy l'teich sadehu. Now, even initially, even though this is before shvius, he can still go into my field, because remember, I never asered that. I only asered food. So I didn't aser going into the field. However, specifically, and he cannot eat from the peiros, because that's what I asered. I told, and remember, it's before shvius, so I have complete control, and I can make my food aser to you, so therefore you're not allowed to eat my peiros. That was my neder. And shvius, now nothing, it's nothing, it doesn't, the shvua, or the neder rather, is not going to encroach or interfere with anything, because on the one hand, I only made the isser on food, so you were always allowed to walk on my field, and it's already shvius, the peiros don't belong to me, so I have no right to make that neder to aser you from eating my peiros, so therefore in shvius, you can even go and take my food. That is the Mishnah. Again, the basics are, so we're talking about the hana, we're talking about, it could also obviously means everything generally, but specifically in the context of this Mishnah, since we're talking about shvius and we're talking about eating the peiros, the hana that it's gonna reflect on is whether or not you can walk onto the field for the sake of collecting the peiros. That's the Mishnah. Okay, so immediately the Gemara jumps into the explanation. What's included in the Isser, what's not included in the Isser. So Rav and Shmuel, Damar Tavayo. So on the one hand, we're going to have Rav and Shmuel, that's going to be the first Shita. They both say the following. Now, the Lashon that they use is Nechosim Elu. They say that we're talking about, that I refer to a certain property. Nechosim Elu, these properties, Alecha, are going to be usher to you. So I don't refer to them as my property, but it is my property, and therefore I have the control and the right to say what's mutter and what's asur about it, but I'm not referring to it as my property, I'm referring to it just as a property, the property. So the property, these properties are asur, alecha, then you're not allowed to have benefit from them. Now, once again, to fit this into the context of our Mishnah, lefnei shviyas, if I made this neder before shviyas, as we discussed already, therefore I have full flexibility to make it as mutter, as asur as I want. So now that I made everything asur, so he can't even walk into my field, and I can't eat from the peiros that are leaning, even if they're leaning from within my field to outside my field to an adjacent property, they're still going to be asur. But again, he talked about this property. And by the way, included in this property is anything that grows on the property. So I can, and I have the right, it's before Shviyah, so I can prevent you from going on the field, and I can even prevent you from taking the food. Zokt, the Gemara Vayter. Now here's where it gets interesting. Afal pisha hegiya Shviyah, even when it eventually becomes Shviyah. So I made the neder before Shviyah, I made everything asur, and now it became Shviyah, it's still, the isur is in place, and it's going to continue to be asur, and the person will not be allowed to walk on my field or take my payers. The imbishviyas nodar, but if he made the nether on shviyas itself, so once again, the payers, it's already hefker, in yerlatech sodeh, once again, I can still prevent you from walking on the field, because that's not kind of part of the shviyas matter, so to speak. I'll say that I'll keep on a simple level. It's not included in what's asur in Shviyah, so therefore I'm allowed to make a neder on it. Avol oichum in anoitois. But over here, since it's already Shviyah, I cannot prevent you from taking the peiros, and therefore this person, since I only made the neder on Shviyah itself, and the peiros are already hefker, he's going to be allowed to take from the peiros that are leaning over to an adjacent field. Because remember, I'm allowed to prevent him from walking on my field. So how is he going to get my apples, let's say? How is he going to pick the apples off my tree? He's talking about a tree that is right on the edge of it, leaning towards the edge of the property, so he's going to take the apples without even going onto my property. He'll be able to pluck them off the tree, and they'll be mutter. That is Rav and Shmuel Shita. Now, to the contrast, let's just to see the contrast over here, to see what the point of the Gemara is. Rav Yochanan Reish Lokesh to Amri Tavayo. Hi, good morning. Thank you for joining. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lokesh to Amri Tarvayu. So now Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Reish Lokesh are going to say a slightly different explanation. They both say the following. Now, very important, and this is what gets the Gemara all started. Instead of saying Nechasim Elu, instead of talking about the property generally, they say Nechsai Alecha. They say, my property is Asur, property. Now, by saying my property, the implication over here is it is only a nether as long as it is my property. But before we get distracted by that point, but it is a very important point for the purpose of this Gemara, but let's read it in the context of the Braisa. But the point is that they say, Nechsai Alecha, my property is going to be Asur to you. So once again, we're going to continue reading the Braisa, and we're going to say like this, or the member really, it's not even a Braisa, it's Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish saying this, and we're quoting them in the Gemara. They say, Lifnei Shviyas, if I made this neder before Shviyas, Ein Yoy L'Tech Sadehu, Vein Oichum Min Anoitus. So this again is a very straightforward halacha, where I can say that they're not allowed to go into my field, and they're not allowed to eat from the peiros, because once again, it's not Shviyas yet, I can make any Isser I want. However, now also, this is also a little bit of a different way. The next line the way they say this is also different than the way it's presented by Rav and Shmuel. Now they say, Higia Shviyas. This is the first time where we're introducing the concept that they're specifically talking about where I made the nether before Shviyas, and now with the nether in place, now all of a sudden it becomes Shviyas. Now, this is where they add this extra halacha. Higia Shviyas, once it becomes Shviyas, any yar l'tech sadehu, I'm once again allowed to prevent you from walking on my field, and later in the Gemara is going to discuss what the difference is, why the field, walking on the field is less of an issue, is permitted even on Shviyas. I can prevent you even on Shviyas. So still the halacha remains on any yard of the time, so I can't walk onto my field. Avol oichol hu es anoitas. But now all of a sudden there's an interesting halacha. So they're able to eat the peiros on Shviyas, even though they made the neder and they made the iser, they created the iser before Shvius. So the simple reading of the Gemara is that this seems to be a machlekes between Rav Shmuel on the one hand and Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish on the other hand, because now it's very clear that Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish seem to be saying that that once it becomes Shvius, the Torah says that, that you're allowed to take the Paris off any field, and nobody's going to make a neder and prevent me from taking his Paris. They can't do that. They don't have a right, even though they made the neder before Shvius. That is Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. That's their reading, and it seems to be very clear that that's their reading. Whereas, the, again, on the simple level, before we get into the further into the Gemara, but on the simple level, Rav and Shmuel are arguing on that point, and they seem to imply that if I made the neder before Shvius and it's in place and there's an Isser, that Isser will continue even as it turns into Shvius. Even as the Shvius takes effect, sorry, too little, too late, it's already Usser. That seems to be the implication. And the only time, one second, the only time Rav and Shmuel will say that it's going to be Mutter is when you, that I can't prevent you eating my peiros, is if I made the neder on Shvius itself. So now, if that's the simple machlik, because the Gemara wants to really say that that, and the Gemara is going to try to add that as the explanation. So the Gemara continues and says, Lema b'hokam eflagi. Let us say that this is what they're arguing on. What, in other words, what is the point of conflict, the point of contention here between the two shitas? That they argue the following. The Rabu Shmuel Savri, Rav and Shmuel hold. Now again, this is one of these lashonis in the Gemara, which is a little kind of double negative, so you have to get the point. It says, they hold Adam Iser Davar Sheber Rishusai. I can make something Usser in my possession. Fine. Afilu Kishayotze Mirishusai, even after it leaves my Rishus. Right? Which again fits entire Gemara perfectly, because Hefker, or rather I should say Shvius, makes my Peiros Hefker, which is the equivalent of leaving my Rishus. And Rav and Shmuel seem to say that even though it becomes Shvius and it becomes Hefker, still it remains Usser. So even though I Assered it in the beginning, I can continue to Asser it even after it leaves my Rishus. Versus, the Gemara continues, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish Savri, remember we're trying to explain what the point of their machlekes is, or the underlying machlekes is. It says, Ein adam oiser davar sheber rishusai likashe yotzem mirishusai. I cannot asser something that is currently in my rishus for the sake of making the continue to be asser after it leaves my rishus. Which once again is the case of Shvius. It leaves my rishus, it becomes hefker, the Torah makes it hefker. And even so, that's why I can't make it asser. I could make it asser as long as it remained in my rishus. But once it leaves my rishus, it's not mine anymore to make usser. So again, this is on a very simplistic level. The Gemara itself chooses to pick this as the first attempt at making this the machlekes. Okay, without getting into what we already know in the conclusion of the Gemara is to emphasize the difference between nechasim elu versus nechasai. We're not even going to get into that. Here we're just going to stick onto the whether or not I can usser it after it leaves my rishus. However, that attempt is not a valid way to explain the machlekes. But Tisbra, let us really try to understand what's going on over here to see whether that could possibly be the machlekes. Mi ikal amandi yomer ein adam da oiser davar sheber shusai likashiyasai mir shusai. Are you trying to tell me that there's a mandiyamer that argues on the concept that I could asser it even after it leaves my rishos? In other words, Rav and Shmuel seem to be the basic approach here, that I could asser it, I should be allowed to asser it even after it leaves my rishos. That is there a shita that says I can't asser it? Like again, the way we're trying to explain Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish that say that I can't asser it after it leaves my rishus. If so, in Cain, the Gemara continues, Nifligi b'nichasim elu, let them have the machloikis between Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, let them have the machloikas, both using the same phrase of nechasim elu, and saying even though I made the property usser, still Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish are being mechadish that the property can lose its isser after it leaves my rishos. The kol shekein b'nechsai, and then kol shekein for sure when it's my property, right? Because what's the difference between this property versus my property? When I say this property, it puts, so to speak, places the iser on the property. Versus where I say my property, it seems to imply that the iser is only so long as, and as long as it's my property. But if it's not my property anymore, then I don't care what happens. And so I understand clearly that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are saying when it's not my property, my property is also when it's not my property, it's not also. That would be easy. But if you're telling me the chiddush over here, the Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish hold, even in general, I can make something, I can't make something else when it leaves my rishos. So then talk about the property itself and say that would be a chiddush, that even regular property, forget about whether it's mine or not, but regular property, I can't, the chiddush is I can't aser it, I can't place an iser on the property that remains aser even after it leaves my rishos. So they should be using the words nechasim elu would be a much bigger chiddush to emphasize the fact that I have no control over a property even after it leaves my rishos. So that's first of all. So there's a technical problem with the way they phrase their opinion. The Sioux, and then I'll prove to you actually Beferish a Mishnah, which we'll see, maybe the Mishnah itself is not such a riot, but at least that the attempt of the Gemara is asking it as a secondary question. The Sioux, and I'll bring you a question. How Tanan we learned in a Mishnah, but it seems very clear. The Odom Oysu Dovashev Irshusoy, the Kashiyatsum Irshusoy, that, and the purpose of this Mishnah is to prove that I could aser things even after they leave my Rishus, which once again it contradicts Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, which let it go after it leaves my Rishus. The Tanan, how do I know that it's aser even after it leaves my Rishus? The Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, and we'll keep the explanation of the Mishnah very simple. It says, "Ha'omer lebnoi koinim sha'ata nanasli, nanali." A guy, a father says to his son, "I'm making an eder that you cannot have any anah from my property." Meis yirshenu. So then the halacha is that when the father dies, the son will still be allowed to yarshin, which is a din yerusha, because we understand what the father meant was that you cannot have any anah from the property as long as I am alive. But the implication is that once he's not alive anymore, then the son gets the regular din of Yerusha. Yerusha is automatic anyway, and therefore the son will be allowed to Yarshin, proving that after it leaves the father's Rishutz, it's mutter. Whereas, so this is the Shitas Haran, that you can't have any anah from it, even after the father dies. That turns out to be a Machlikas Rishonim, whether or not that's true, but we're going to go with the Ran Shita, yes, that's correct, that once the son will yarshin it, because Yerusha is a din d'araisa, that it's, so to speak, automatic, it just goes into effect, whether you like it or not, but he'll definitely yarshin it, even, let's see in the contrast to that in the next line. Okay, so the next line is, well, so again, we said Mesi Yerushenu, in this case where he said specifically, he just said, "I don't want you to have anah." He meant only when he was alive. Whereas if the father uses the phrase "b'chayev uvemoisoi," if the father now specifically says that I don't want you to have anah whether I'm alive or whether I'm dead, so then, now on the top of Membeis and Mebeis, the Gemara says in Meis, lo yirshenu. Then it says very clearly that the son cannot yarshin. He doesn't even yarshin. Now here's where the Ran says, where it doesn't mean literally he doesn't yarshin. Right. Here's where the Ran says he doesn't mean literally that he doesn't yarshin, because Yerusha is a din d'araisa, and you don't have the right to interfere with the din Yerusha d'araisa. I mean, you could prevent it by giving it away. I mean, the Mefarshim points this out, that you could prevent it by giving it away before he dies. That he could do, because then it's not his at the time of his death, and therefore there's nothing to yarshin. But if it is the father's, when at the moment the father dies, you cannot stop the, it's like automatic, it's by law, it has to happen that way, that it goes as usual. Now it could mean, so what do we mean by La Yerushana? This is where the Ran says, and as they said, this is Machlekes Rishonim, but the Ran at least says that the son will Yarshin it, even though he's not going to have Hanoah. What are we going to do with it? We'll give it to his children, we'll give it to his brothers, whatever, he'll have a right to decide where it goes, even though and this is where the Mefarshim have a little bit of a problem with the Ran, because that also is a benefit, the fact that I can decide that the money, even though it's not going into my pocket, it's going into my kid's pocket, that kind of is a Hanoah for me as well. But okay, let's keep it on the simple shot here. Though the point is that you don't yarshin. But what do we learn from this Mishnah? What we learn from this Mishnah is that there's definitely a distinction between whether I can aser something if I say it clearly that I mean to aser something even after it's out of the guy's rishus, it will work. Right? So in the case where he didn't talk about future, so then Al-Khalami was only Usr while he was alive. After he's dead, it's fine. But we see very clearly when he says, I want it to be Usr now and I want it to be Usr in the future, he does have that right to make something Usr even after, so to speak, it leaves his Rishus. He's dead and it leaves his Rishus. So we see he does have that control. So if that's true, so then that goes back against what Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish were saying, because they were saying that I can't it, when Shvius comes and it becomes Hefker, so to speak, it leaves my Rishos, and I don't have a right to Aser it. I don't have a right to Aser it once it leaves my Rishos. It's automatically going to be Mutter. But according to this Mishnah, I do have a right to Aser something even after it leaves my Rishos. So the obvious distinction between this Mishnah and what Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is saying, the Gemara already points out already in the next line, where the Gemara says, Shani Hacha, this Mishnah is a little different. He actually said specifically, he discussed what's going to happen after he dies. So therefore, he says very clearly that I don't want you to have Nano now, and I specifically don't want, I want it to continue that I don't want you to have the Hano later. So that might be a little bit different as opposed to our case where he just made a general Isser in the Isser of the Peres, and then it happens to be Shvius. Maybe he never really meant to address what happens when Shvius comes. And we can therefore make a distinction and say, when Shvius comes, Itaka, even Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish say, I never meant to make that answer. Okay. In any event, the Kol Mokum Kasha. Okay, fine. So maybe the Mishnah is not really such a clear raya against Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, but at least Minasvara, we don't have a Shita that says that I cannot make something Usser after that it doesn't, and that the Isser doesn't continue after it leaves my Rishos. The basic reading is, the basic understanding is that if I make something Usser, it should continue to be Usser even after it leaves my Rishos. In fact, if the point that Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish were trying to make, let me just reiterate the kasha that the Gemara specifically says. If the point that Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish are trying to say is that I cannot, that it has to be mutter after it leaves my Rishus, then they should have said the simpler case where just nechasim elu, regular property, I put an Isser on the property and even that doesn't hold. And certainly if I said my property, it's not going to hold. Because remember, by definition, if I'm saying my property, the understanding is it's while it's my property, but after it's my property, it's not Isser anymore. So why did Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish limit it to nechasai? They should have said all property, and even so, the Isser doesn't apply after it leaves their Rishus. So, once again, just to get back to the point, we see that that is not what Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish seem to be saying. They seem to be making a different point, that other than the fact that whether or not I can prevent it to be Usser after it leaves my Rishos. That's not their point, because otherwise they would have used the words Nechasim. Okay, so we're back to our Kasha. So what exactly is the Machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish on the one hand that say it is not Usser later versus Rav and Shmuel that seem to imply that it is Usser later? So the Gemara says that exactly what we've been distinguishing till now is exactly the point of their machlekes. As the Gemara continues on the second line, at the end of the second line, Ella, rather the case is like this. Benechosim elu kulei amaloi pligi. When I say these properties, everybody agrees to what Rav and Shmuel says, that if I make it Usser, I make the property Usser, then the property remains, contains this Isser, and that Isser will remain forever. So in our case, in using again, putting it back into our case, if I make the neder before Shvius and I made the payers also before Shvius, then even as it turns Shvius, it is going to remain and continue to be Usser. Okay, and therefore, ki pligi, so what are they arguing about? Benichsai, when I say the words, I want it to be Usser as my property. So that's where they argue. Rav Shmuel Savri, loishna nechosim elu, loishna nechosai. It doesn't matter whether I said this property versus I say my property, Adam Usser. They said, listen, it doesn't matter. Once I put an Isser on something, the Isser, as the Ran says, loy poka. It doesn't disappear. Where'd the Isser go? So it must be that once something's Usser, it remains Usser. However, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish Savri, they disagree and they say, no. Nechosim Elu, if I make it on these properties, and it continues, then it's on the property, the Isser attaches to the property, whereas we say runs with the land, it attaches to the property, Adam Usser. Then a person makes it Usser, meaning that it'll be Usser forever, because the Isser is attached to the land. nichsai, but if I say my property, then ein adam oiser, then I can't aser, or I don't mean to aser, after it's no longer in my rishus. Because of the fact that I pointed out, and it, the Ran says I have to, even if I say nichsai elu, that would be a problem, because then I'm attaching it to the property again. It has to be that he uses the word specifically nichsai. That is my property. So the understanding is, while it is my property. So there, that's where Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are going to say that it is my property, it's usur. When it's not my property, it's not going to be usur at all. Because it's not my property anymore, and I only meant to usur it while it's my property. As opposed, let's just, again, just to put it in place, Rav and Shmuel argue, and they say, even if I said nechsai, and it sounds like I only mean while it's my property, but the point is that the object becomes usur, the payers become usur. So once they're usur, they're going to continue to be usur even after I step away, even after it's not mine anymore because of hefker, or in the case the mission of the person dies, whatever it is. The point is it's not usur anymore after it leaves. It would remain usur because it was usur from beforehand. However, so this is one more approach. The Gemara says no. Umi ika lamandi amar loyishana nechosim elu loyishana nechosai. You're going to tell me that there is an opinion that, remember, this is Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish Shita. Sorry, this is Rav and Shmuel Shita. Now we're asking a question on Rav and Shmuel. That you're going to tell me that according to Rav and Shmuel, there's no difference between if I use the words nechosim elu versus if I use the word nechosai. Now nechosai meant very clearly, as we've been saying till now, that I only meant it to be also while it's my property. And I'll prove to you that there is a distinction. We have a mission. It says, a person says to his friend, I'm making a neder that I'm not coming into your house. Again, it's the way that in English we say it a little bit different than the way it reads in the Gemara. There's an isser on going into your house, sha'ani nichnas, that I will go in. Okay, in other words, I'm making my entry into your house usur. Or sodcha, your field, shani loikech, I will never buy your field. Okay, so now it sounds like while it's only his, your field. So mace, oishemacher la'acher, if that person eventually dies, okay, if a person eventually dies, oishemacher la'acher, or he sells it to somebody else, mutter, then it is mutter for this person who made the neder to go ahead and purchase that field or go into the house. It's going to be mutter. Why? Because he only asserted it, beisecha, your house, he only asserted it while it was in his possession, while he owned it. That's where I had the isra preventing me from interacting with it. However, the Mishnah itself continues and says, "Lebayis zeh shani nichnas." If I say this house is the problem. It has nothing to do with the ownership of the house. It's this house that's a problem. Oishim, sorry. So the zoo shani lokeh, or I say this field, I will never buy this field. Okay, so a guy says, I will never buy this field. Has nothing to do with who the owner is. So, if that person, the current owner, dies, or the current owner sells it to somebody else, and it's owned by somebody else, usur, it remains usur. Why? Because he didn't mean to usur it. He didn't mean to usur the relationship with the person, with the owner. He meant to usur the field. So we see, and here the Mishnah is, as opposed to the Mishnah, because the Mishnah itself does give in the first example where he said, I want to usur your field and your house. And there we specifically said that it's only usur while it is his, because he said yours, while it belongs to you. So we see the isur attaches to the ownership, obviously in relation to the house or to the field. But the point is, the emphasis here was while it was his ownership. So everybody, and this is a Mishnah, so Rav and Shmuel can't argue on a Mishnah. So it's the simple understanding is that everybody has to agree, because again, as I said, it's a Mishnah, and nobody seems to argue in the Mishnah, and Rav and Shmuel that are Amoraim, they can't argue on the Mishnah. I mean, even though Rav Tano Polik, but still, Lamaisa, we don't try to make a machlokes between Rav and a Mishnah unnecessarily. So Rav and Shmuel can't argue on the fact that it makes a difference between whether I say your field. You have to make a chiluk. When I say your field, then it's attached to the possession. When I say the field, then the field remains also. So everybody makes a difference between the yours versus the field. And so too, there's going to be a difference when a person makes... Now, that happens to be talking about somebody else is making an eder about the field. But here, even so, it's a little bit different because it's the owner of the field himself making the eder. Still, we should make a distinction between nechsai, when the person says my field and he attaches it to his ownership and possession, versus nechosim, when he doesn't attach it to the ownership, he makes the iser on the object, then the object is going to be usser then after it leaves his possession. So there's clearly a distinction, which means that Rav and Shmuel will agree that there is a difference between nechasim versus nechasim eila versus nechasai. Okay, so now it comes out, which we try to say on the top of the omelet, that was the machloikis between Rav and Shmuel versus Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. But now Rav and Shmuel seem to agree with that point. So finally the Gemara says, you're right, there is no machloikis over here. Elo ki omri Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish benichsai. So Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are specifically talking about nichsai. Rav and Shmuel benichosim elu. And Rav and Shmuel are specifically benichosim elu v'loi pligi. They really don't argue. So instead of making this a machlekes, which it seemed to be when you first read the Mishnah, but really when you look at the Mishnah more careful, or their statements more carefully, they specifically use the language that works for the purpose that they're trying to make. Which is, when I say nechosim, I'm making an isra on the property, and the property is going to be usser then therefore forever. So in our case, that means even if Shvius comes into effect, it's not going to change anything because I already made the payers usser, and they're going to continue to be usser even as Shvius enters. However, if I say nechosai, which is the case that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are talking about, they meant only as long as it's my property. Therefore, when Shvius kicks in, and it is technically not his property anymore because the Torah says that it's Hefker, so it leaves his Rishus, at least for the purposes of Shvius, I have no right. I never meant to make it usser because I was only talking about while it is my property. Okay. Just one interesting highlight. Hold on one second. One interesting highlight to just point out, and then I'll let you speak in a second, but the one interesting highlight is the fact that, notice in the Gemara, till now it's always been Rav and Shmuel first, and Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish second, because that's the way we see it in the Mishnah, and until now the way the Ran was explaining that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish were reacting to what Rav and Shmuel said. Here, when we finally get to the Maskana of the Gemara, it's interesting that they put Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish first, and then Rav and Shmuel, and the Ran says that is because the Gemara is trying to emphasize that since they're not arguing anymore, Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish are not in reaction to Rav and Shmuel. They're saying it on their own. So by flipping it around and saying Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish first, that emphasizes the fact that they're saying this independently, because it is an independent thought. It has nothing to do with Rav and Shmuel. They're talking about a different case. They're talking about Nechsai, as opposed to Rav and Shmuel, they were talking about Nechosim Elu. So that's why specifically at the end of the Gemara switches around the order of how we list them. So that is the conclusion of the Gemara. So as we've been saying till now, just to repeat, that it comes out that really Rav Shmuel versus Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish do not argue at all. They all agree that if I use my possessive and I say that it's usher while it's my property, I mean specifically only while it's my property, and after it leaves my possession, the isser doesn't apply anymore, because I only meant to usher it while it was mine, which is the point that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are emphasizing, because they use the word nechsai, but at the same time we all agree that if I say nechasim elu, if I made the iser on the property generally, then everybody would agree that it's the property that remains usser, and it doesn't matter who owns it. The iser is on the property, and that's the point that Rav and Shmuel are emphasizing. So once again, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are not coming to argue on that point, because they're talking about a different case. But they would agree that if I happen to make the iser on the object, on the property itself, then the iser would remain even after it leaves the possession of the initial owner. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. Then the Gemara is going to get back into what the Mishnah also talks about. One of the things that the Mishnah distinguishes between is the difference between walking on the person's field versus taking the noitos, the peiros. So literally, usually when we have noitos, the word noita means to lean. So when we talk about noitos, we usually mean that it's leaning from one property onto another property. Okay, but what's the difference between walking on the field versus taking the payres? So b'shvius ein yoyer l'toch sadeo. So once again, this is just a quote from the Mishnah saying that I cannot, that on shvius, if I ossered it, and this is going back on the original case of hano, when I made it osser b'hano, so in general, it's a general isser hano, includes, especially according to the Gemara that we learned on the Aflama Beis with Rabbi Eliezer Shita, that includes even walking on my field. So it includes the fact that I can prevent you from walking on my field. Okay. So then it says, but when Shvius comes, I could still prevent you from walking on the field, but I cannot stop you from eating the peiros. However, the Gemara asks, Maishna de oichol min anoitos. How come on Shvius I cannot stop you from eating the peiros? Why? Why can't I stop you? The peiros de hefker inon. Because the peiros became hefker, and once they became hefker, I have no right to stop you from eating them. If that's true, aranami afkara, the land also became hefker. Now, it's interesting to point out, and the Ron does point this out, that there's a different level of hefker over here. The hefker over here is only really technically a hefker, if you want to call it a hefker de Rabbanon. I'm not going to say that it's only hefker de Rabbanon on a de Rabbanon level, but it's the Rabbanon that makes sure that it's considered hefker, because on a deraisa level, the Torah, when it says that a person has, that you have a right to go on to someone else, you have a right to collect the peiros, what the Torah meant to include was anything that it takes in order to be able to get to the peiros. So, if the only way I can get to your apples, your apple tree, in the middle of your apple orchard, is to walk through your field to get to your apple tree, then that has to be mutter also. That's what the Torah wanted. The Torah wanted that I should be able to get to the peiros. And therefore, as far as the Torah is concerned, I made the field hefker again for the sake of being able to get to the peiros. So, if that's true, and that again is, but this is also, I mean, it's the Rabbanan that added that explanation. So, if that's true, if I made my, if I'm able to prevent you, if I cannot, let me rephrase that, if I cannot prevent you from reaching my apples, from taking my apples, I shouldn't be allowed to prevent you from walking on my field to reach to get my apples. So what does the Mishnah mean when it says I could stop you from going on my field because I made the nether from beforehand? So the Gemara gives two terutzim. Amar Ula, ba'oimdin ilonis al hagvulin. That the case is, that the Mishnah is discussing, is where the trees are literally at the edge of the field. They're leaning onto another field. And there really is no reason to go onto the field, onto the property itself in order to be able to collect. So imagine you have an apple tree which is on a slant, which is leaning sideways. So the entire apple tree is accessible from the adjacent property. So as I said before, the only reason the real hefker is on the peiros, but included in that hefker of the peiros is the ability to get to the peiros. But now if I have a situation where I don't need access in order to be able to reach and get the peiros, there's no reason for the access. Then that's not what's included in the hefker. Remember that it's only as a derivative. It's only once, since I need to get to the peiros, I therefore have every right to go on the field. But if I can get to the peiros without going on the field, then it's the field itself in and of itself. It's not a hefker in and of itself. It's only as a hechsher mitzvah, so to speak. It's only there to get to the peiros. So therefore, Ula says that's the case of our Mishnah, where I don't need to go onto the field. So if I don't need to go on the field, since the field itself isn't intrinsically hefker, there's no reason I can prevent you from going on the field. Might be a little bit more inconvenient, but you can get my apples, you can get my peiros. So you'll get my peiros from standing outside, and I can usher you from going on my field. That's the first teretz. Rav Shimon ben Yaakov, Rav Shimon ben Yaakov gives a different teretz. Gezeir Hashem Yisha ba'amido. So he said, very interesting. He says, no, really, even if you want to tell me I have a right to go onto the field, but once again, what is the right for? The right, the heter, is only for the purposes of getting the peiros. But I don't have a right to trespass. I don't have a right to use your field as a shortcut. It's not that the field itself is hefker. It's only there for the purposes of getting onto to getting the peiros. However, that means that if I'm not there for getting the peiros, I could aser it. Now, I can't aser it on Shvius itself. That's for a technical reason. I can't aser it on Shvius itself. Fine. But before Shvius, if I made my field aser, and it became usher to you, so it became usher for you to use it in any way other than specifically what the Torah said. So now the problem is that there's going to be isser. There is going to be an existing isser for me to be on your field. On that, Rav Shimon ben Elyakim says a chiddush that since I'm concerned that you're going to misuse that opportunity, because I'm only allowed to be there for the 5 minutes I'm allowed to be there, the moment I overstay my welcome, there's an iser neder that's going to go into effect. So the Rabbanon are going to aser you from going onto that field. Because if you go onto that field, you're going to end up violating the nether. So therefore, you cannot go onto the field. So even though technically I have no right to prevent you to go on the field, because you have to have the right to go on. However, because there's a nether, which I emphasize was already a nether from beforehand. So therefore the nether is chal. Once the nether is chal, so now you cannot do something which you can, like many places in the Torah where we're afraid that if I allow you to do this, you're going to end up doing the Isser. So if I allow you to go onto the field, you're going to ultimately go too far, and you're going to be on the field when you're not allowed to be there. So therefore, we have to stop you. We're allowed to stop you from even going on the field. Yes. Okay. Yeah.